You're listening to the Potential Cast. This is episode number 3 for Witch. In an effort to inject some normalcy into her life, Buffy tries out for the cheerleading squad, only to discover the competition wants her dead. This is Stephanie.
This is Kim.
This is Illyrio.
And I'm Gabby.
I'm so sorry.
Why? Okay. Because everyone thought in their mind that someone said, "And together we are Gax." Because that's what happened last time.
We've got a lot of feedback.
We do have a lot of feedback, and most of people who sent us feedback referred to us as Gax, so I'm glad it's sticking.
Yes.
I really enjoy that. We got a voicemail from John. Right, Steph?
Right.
Okay, so let's listen to what John has to say.
Hey, gang. This is John from the Sofa Dogs podcast. I just finished listening to your first episode, and I thought it was a blast. I wanted to share some things you and your listeners might find useful. A few of you discussed the possibility of Buffy making it to the Blu-ray format. Well, it just so happens that I recently wrote an article on this very subject over at quadruplez.com.
Zed.
If you don't end up reading the article so as to not be spoiled by any potential, spoilers, I have one important piece of advice for the first-time viewers. Don't watch Buffy on iTunes or Netflix streaming. These platforms present the show in the widescreen format, which, aside from one episode in season 6, is very, very wrong.
Hmm.
The expansion of the frame can reveal things you were never meant to see, which ruins some of the effects and takes you out of the story. Someone had asked if the actor who played Spike was also a director or a producer for the show. Chances are you were probably thinking of David Boreanaz, who would eventually direct an episode of Angel, and he's also directed 2 episodes of Bones so far.
Hmm.
Allison Hannigan was mentioned as having appeared in the film My Stepmother is an Alien, but you know who played her boyfriend in that movie? Seth Green. Also of note is that Allison appeared in an episode of Roseanne. Joss was a writer for that series for at least a year.
Oh, really?
This was also where he met Glenn Quinn, who, of course, would go on to appear in Angel. And finally, Swan's Crossing was a summer series that ran for 5 days a week starting on June 29th, 1992. Which
5 days
would
a week.
Today
that's a lot of
Swan's Crossing. Anniversary.
Oh. Oh my god, 18 years
followed
ago?
The intrigue and romantic dramas of 12 wealthy teenagers. It was kind of like Gossip Girl for 14-year-olds.
Yep, that makes her
but
around
in addition
the right time.
To Sarah Michelle Gellar as the scandalous daughter of the town mayor.
Yep.
The show also featured Brittany Daniel of Sweet Valley High fame and a then unknown Mira Sorvino, who just a few short years later would work for Woody Allen and win an Oscar. Swan's Crossing ended on September 25th, 1992, reaching a total of 65 half-hour episodes in one single season.
I want him to be my phone a friend.
For anyone curious about,
John,
I'll
please be my phone
a
friend.
Link to every single episode of Swan's Crossing. Enjoy the magic.
That is awesome.
That's all for now. If ever you guys are in need of another guest, let me know.
Will
Until
do.
Then, I look forward to more great Buffy discussions. Take care. Bye.
Awesome.
Bye.
Very cool. Thank you, John.
Thanks, John.
That was awesomely positive and great and very informative.
Very informative.
Wow.
See, I knew I wasn't making it up when I was like, Swan's Crossing, guys. I remember the theme song. You gotta grow up. Okay, I'm done.
Do you want me to cut that out, Kim?
No, it's okay. You can keep
okay. We had some more feedback in email form.
Okay, you want to read
it? Yeah, we got a lot. Do we want to read it all?
Well, I don't
because
know.
Because a lot of it was, like, for example, Missy. I'll read Missy. She's from Australia.
Okay.
High Potential Cast. As someone who watched Buffy the Vampire Slayer from the pilot way back in 97, I enjoyed your first podcast. It's nice to hear what new fans and first-timers think of it. Even now, when I watch season one, I laugh. Camp it is, though less than the movie. To Kim and Gabby come the series one finale, you're going to see how much the show will change and grow into something darker and less teen girly than you're expecting. It was season two that made me love the series, mostly because it got the whole 22 episodes. And it, like Steph says, gets more grown up and real. And mythology is more prevalent in season two and onwards. Enjoy the fun and flirty Buffster while you can, because without ruining anything, this show will detour so far away from what anyone could imagine it was going to be. Cast changes, story and character overhauls, major changes in the mythology, and new writers behind the scenes, I don't think Joss himself even knew where his beloved Buffy was going to end up. Even though he likes to say he had everything planned, seasons in advance, life happens and changes who you are, sometimes for the best and sometimes not, and Buffy will learn those lessons in coming seasons. It's one hell of a journey. There will be points throughout the whole series where you'll hate just about everything, and then you'll so much in love with it, you'll become an obsessed fan like myself. From Missy.
Just
so you know, you have a listener in Australia. Yeah, so that was a... like the gist of a lot of the emails saying that, yeah, season one is
don't
a little
give up yet.
Definitely. I mean, we thank everybody for their feedback, everybody for their questions, and definitely if you have episode specific stuff you want to send us, feel free to send it to us in advance. We're definitely going to be doing one episode a week. But if you're ahead and there's something happening in episode 8 that you want to talk about and it's fresh in your mind, go ahead and give us a call at 270-40-BUFFY and leave us a message on that. And we'll be able to organize it so we can play that voicemail when we do a podcast on that episode.
Yeah.
All right. Do we want to play Kevin Batchelder's
message? I'm good with that.
Sure.
Hey everyone, my name is Kevin Batchelder, and I just wanted to give you some feedback on your first couple of episodes. I'm a fellow podcaster, so I appreciate all the work that goes into doing shows, and I've very much been enjoying your first two shows, episode 0 and 1.
I'm a big fan
of all of Joss's works, Buffy, Firefly, Angel, Dollhouse, many other shows. A big genre fan, too, so realize that's where I'm coming from with some of these comments. But it's great having the different diversity of each of you. And kudos right off the bat to Steph, as the one who has seen Buffy, to not be giving away spoilers. I can imagine myself biting the tongue many times, I'm sure, as you folks go into discussions, because I know I am just as a listener. But I'm very much looking forward to your Buffy journey as you folks come across more things. I was much like you folks. I was myself working quite a bit with a couple daughters back in the 90s. Didn't see Buffy in first run. Missed a lot of good shows to go into school nights and working myself, so I've caught up on a lot on DVD. And I must admit, because I'm now myself in my early 50s, but I probably caught Buffy when I was in my late 40s, that I was definitely, like many of you, not the target demographic. I probably shied away from it a little bit, even though I love many sci-fi and fantasy shows, thinking it was going to be just teen angst and such. But too many people that I respect kept telling me that I should watch this show, so I finally did, and I'm so glad that I did. It's really quite a journey. It's interesting that someone mentioned in one of your shows a comparison to Lost, that it's definitely not Lost. While it may not be Lost from the myth arc point of view, from a character point of view, it's really not that far off. You're really going to be amazed some of the journeys that are coming up for these characters. As you guys mentioned, you've got about 7 years of growth here at a time when many of us, when we were back then, realized we took leaps and bounds, and you will see that in the TV show quite a bit. This Buffy is also much like many other good shows, even some in the genre like Supernatural. Farscape is another one. Season one is, you know, by far the bumpiest or weakest of the seasons. And you're spot on with some of your assumptions about it being very campy early on, but it does change as the show goes on, and I won't give away any details there. You are going to have to get used to the lingo. The Scoobies do have some of their own phrases. You'll start to see them, so I won't throw too many out here. I'll let you have fun as you come across them. Many of us who are big Buffy fans use them all the time when we're hanging out with other fans, so it's quite interesting. I think you'll find many of the bad guys, be they vampires or monsters or other things, No, they're not going to look that great from a special effects point of view. And part of that was budget, and part was also on purpose when I listened to some of the Joss commentaries, because they're really metaphors for what Buffy and the gang are going through, so we don't want to make them too much of the focus here. And while the action scenes, you know, some of the fights do get much, much better choreography and so forth, they're really not that great even later in later seasons. You're looking more for what's happening in the story and the characters. You know, Buffy is very much a coming-of-age story. So I'm very excited, looking forward to it. It's been a lot of fun already just with your first couple of episodes, so you've got quite a journey ahead, and I've already thought of several episodes, and I'm really looking forward to when you guys you know, see them for the first time and share your thoughts, because some major things will be happening. So I'll be listening, and really appreciate the time and effort you folks put into the podcast. Take care.
Thanks.
Thank you very much.
Kevin. Yeah. Kevin does the Signal podcast, which is a very popular Firefly podcast, and tuning into Sci-Fi. I've been enjoying that. Cool. It's a lot of sci-fi and genre shows. But yeah, thanks, Kevin.
Thank you very much.
Oh, thank you.
What else do we want to look at here? Let me read Shelley's email. Okay. This is pretty good. Okay. Hi, Gax. I want to let you know that, yes, there are people out here listening to you. This is my first time listening to a series of podcasts, and I'm so excited that you're doing this that I had to respond. Just a little about myself and how my obsession with Buffy has brought me to you guys. I am a 56-year-old married mother of a daughter, 26, and son, 25. I don't like most mainstream-type movies or TV, and so I refused to watch Buffy when it originally aired because I thought it was a silly teen show. Friends of my daughter convinced her to watch it last year. Her tastes are similar to mine, plus she's always been obsessed with the only vampire, the Vampire Lestat. Anyway, she loved Buffy and Angel and gave me all her DVDs last August. I struggled through season one, but persisted at my daughter's urging. And like many others, it grew and grew on me, and I was completely and utterly hooked by the middle of season two. Yes, that's when it gets good. I proceeded to watch every episode in order, including alternating with Angel when the show
began. Wow.
Yeah.
Should we be doing that?
We'll talk about that in just a second. While I was watching, I discussed every episode with my daughter, who was rewatching along with me and really having a great time with my first impressions. I deliberately had to pace myself because for the first time in my life, I was very conscious of the fact that I would only get to watch these shows for the first time once. Hmm. And when I was done, I immediately started rewatching every episode, which I have never done before. While watching the first time, I stayed away from anything Buffy-related on the net because I
Me too.
Now I read a lot of Buffy stuff on the web, and I have set a Google alert for Joss, which I think is how I heard about your podcast. I envy those of you experiencing this for the first time. And Stephanie, I can hear your giddy excitement. I know you get it, and can't wait for the others to really get it. Your three podcasts, I know that having listened to you will, and I know that they will, and I can't wait to hear their reactions as the series progresses. Sorry, this is so long. I tend to get carried away when talking about Buffy.
Don't worry about it.
From Shelley.
Thanks, Shelley.
Well, thank you, Shelley, very much.
I'm really excited about it, because this is a thing. Everyone's like, just please make it through season one. It gets better, I promise you.
And it's quite poignant that you mentioned pacing herself, right, Kim?
Right.
Because apparently you don't know the concept of the word, and you've already watched the first season.
Yes, I watched the first season because I don't have cable or internet yet, and I was cool.
I understand. And it's the summertime.
Yes. Oh, okay, so maybe I will pace myself for season two then.
Okay.
Overindulge.
No, that's when it starts to get good. That's when you'll want to watch a disc a night.
Oh, no.
Okay, this is from Matt Murphy. No, it's not. This is from Matt Humphrey.
Well, maybe he changed his name.
Your podcast is unique in that most of the people on it are seeing it for the first time. That's just awesome. I always wanted to show people Buffy and hear their initial thoughts. There's lots of people that I know would like it, but they just have to get through what But they just have to get through that damn first season in order to get to the good stuff. I really hate season one, with the exception of the finale episode. Most people can't stick with it, so I hope you guys do. I have a question request, though. After season three is over, are you going to alternate between episodes of Buffy and Angel? Buffy season four and Angel season one. Please, please, please include Angel in your podcast. As much as I love Buffy, Angel's show is at least twice as good in my opinion. There's so much less high school drama, plus it's got Wesley Wyndham Price, the greatest character in the Whedonverse. And yes, okay, Angel has its problems. It's
Steph, the way Angel and Buffy were kind of overlapped, was it every single episode was important, or was it just certain episodes?
No, it's just a few.
Okay.
There's a few crossover, and some are more crossover than others. You know, some
okay.
are
totally, totally like, good. Yeah.
Like in the first, let me just go ahead and say, when I answered Matt's email, I said that I will encourage y'all to watch Angel because, and maybe if you don't want to watch the whole series. Because Angel starts out like Buffy does. It starts out rough.
Mm-hmm.
Angel is leftover Buffy ideas, from what I understand. And then you have, after a few episodes, you have where one character goes and visits Angel in L.A. And then after a few episodes, Angel goes back to Sunnydale. And he's in that episode very little. And then the next episode, you have a very good crossover episode that everybody should see.
Cool.
You know, so we will, when we get to that point, we'll talk. I'll encourage y'all to watch the Angel episodes.
Cool.
Because character arcs, you don't fully get a couple of characters' arcs unless you watch Angel.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. There is some awesome stuff.
Fantastic.
You sound thrilled.
No, I am actually, because it's like, because it's unique, you know?
Yeah.
You know,
I don't know
like,
of any other show that did that or does that now.
I mean, you mentioned the CSIs kind of did it, I think, once or twice.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, from the 80s, Simon and Magnum P.I. did it. But mm-hmm. to have it be kind of a regular thing is pretty awesome. Were they both on the same network, the shows?
Well, they were starting out. But then mm-hmm. when Buffy got canceled in season six, Buffy was on the UPN and Angel was on the WB. And so they would talk about each other and... they wouldn't mention their names or something. It was
weird.
It was limited after that.
Oh, okay. That makes sense.
Yeah. Darn networks.
Yeah.
All right. So how did everyone like Witch?
I loved it. I really,
yeah?
so far of the first four episodes that I've seen, it's my favorite so far. I especially liked the little creepy weirdness at the end. I think that's why I liked it so much. It was almost like a Twilight Zone kind of twist or something at the end.
Yeah, when you see her eyeballs in the statue.
Yeah.
That was awesome.
Yeah. I agree. I think it was great, too. Of the four, the first four, it was the best.
This episode, for me, marks the beginning of the reduced cheese factor. I really felt like I don't know, it just had a feel to it that I really liked, and I felt like it was moving. The pacing was better, and I really liked the whole mystery element, and you know, it really kind of felt like a Scooby-Doo episode. Right, it was great. It's like, you know, and the team is together, and you know, it was pretty cool.
The dancing made me cringe, though.
Yeah.
Like, but, you know. Hardcore cringe.
Yeah.
Well, to me, it's the most un-Joss episode. It has very few witty lines.
Mm-hmm.
and witty dialogue. It's it's just very, I don't want to say it's vanilla, because it's not. Mm-mm. But it's just, I don't see his influence on this episode.
So, the idea, Gabby.
Yes.
Kim. Mm-hmm. When did you realize that the mother and daughter had switched bodies?
I think it was when Buffy went to the house, and it was just when the mother said something about, my father, or her father, or something like that. And then I was like, oh, come on, don't tell me they switched bodies. And they did. And I was just like, oh, perfect. Yay. But then afterward, it was like the daughter was so aggressive. And so before it was kind of like, she was just a little timid. But then I don't know if they switched bodies during the couple of days the episodes took place, or it was like that the whole time.
See, I couldn't figure like that out time.
Yeah, because if it was like that the whole time, she would have been aggressive from the get-go.
Well, see, now I took it where it was something that had been going on previous to us meeting her, because she makes the comment when they're at the tryouts that when Willow says, you've lost a lot of weight, she goes, yeah, I had to. And the mother was really like crazy obsessed with, and then when she
broth,
oh my gosh.
When I heard the word broth, I'm like, broth. Hardcore
padlock the fridge. Yeah, so that was kind of a weird thing for her to say at the beginning. So every time Amy would say something during the episode, I'm like, wait a minute, that just doesn't seem quite right. I'm like, maybe we should be paying attention to what's going on there. Mm-hmm. And then there was like some comment about brownies or something. I'm like, And then when they went to the house to see the mother, and then she was eating the brownie, I'm like, yeah, she's totally, totally switched back.
Oh, that's a good clue.
I had an inkling as soon as Amy got home and told her mom to do her homework. That to me was like, no way. They've switched bodies. Had to.
Well, see, I think Amy said, or the mother said, that it happened like a couple of months ago that she woke up in her mother's bed. But what I want to know is, I mean, are they able to switch back and forth?
It seemed like a pretty big ordeal when Giles had to, although he was undoing everything. He wasn't just undoing like a soul reversal or something. He was undoing every spell. So that's why it was such a big production.
Well, the mother said that Amy was wasting her youth, but she was frustrated that her body didn't work the same as hers.
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't know. It seemed to me that it would be kind of a long-term spell so that she could literally regain her youth and live her life all over again.
Yeah.
All of
too
this
bad
just
your
to be on
klutz.
The cheer list.
Too bad she's too tall and lanky.
Yep.
Just to be a cheerleader.
Now, were any of you cheerleaders?
No.
Hell no.
All right, wrong question. Next question.
We didn't have cheerleaders in my high school.
My school was too small.
Oh, really?
No, I don't think any of the schools in our region had a cheerleading team. I don't think I don't think any schools in Toronto have cheerleading teams at all. Like, I think they have like step teams, but they don't have cheerleading teams.
Well, here it's huge because there are girls who are not on their high school cheerleading squads. They take cheer from a studio so that they can have a more of a chance of making cheerleader at university.
Wow.
Why?
Wow.
Yeah.
Why did girls want to be cheerleader so badly?
Well, because they can't play football. And by I don't mean they aren't able. I mean they're not allowed.
The first year I could try out in junior high, I tried out and didn't make it. And I remember it was so crushing. It was very disappointing. But I realized that I'm not cut out for it.
Okay. I was just about to say, watch out, Morgan. If your mom locks herself away in the upstairs room for too long.
And you're eating chicken broth. Run. Oh, man.
No.
And this was like this was a little bit of a More You Know episode, you know, like a...
Yeah, it was a public service announcement.
Buffy learns a lesson because she wanted her mother to be active in her life like mm-hmm. Catherine was in Amy's life. And then she realized that that was not such a good thing.
You can't always get what you want.
No.
And then her mother thinks it's awesome to, hey, you should totally be on the yearbook. I'm like, oh my God.
Just like I was.
I was so
those popular. Are my best years ever.
It was in every picture. I was totally popular.
God. That's more embarrassing, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Go ahead.
Go ahead, Lirio. I'm sorry.
I was going to ask, how did we like Buffy's near-death scenes? And she's just sitting on the couch.
She's
very pale.
She's a little sweaty.
Yeah. It was a little bit, I don't know. I chuckled at that.
I liked it, though, because it gave the rest of the team something to do.
It totally gave them something to do. And they were late in reacting. When Amy starts running away towards the throne, like, should we follow her?
Yeah. But so I feel like that they all had something to do because it would be pretty boring if every week it was like, hey, Buffy, go do your thing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. We'll be here to help cover up. No, it's.
I'm glad.
Although I love how Xander walks in. Chop her head off! Chop her head off! Everything's already been taken care of.
I think my favorite scene was when she was first under the spell and she comes downstairs singing Macho Man and the that damn song was stuck in my head for about three hours after I watched. I'm like, I can't. But it wasn't. I wasn't thinking of like the Village People singing it. I was thinking of Sarah Michelle Gellar singing Macho Man in my head. Awful.
That's so funny.
I could not stop laughing at her dancing. Not the first girl who was like the super cheerleader. That was embarrassing as it was. Yeah. But then when Buffy could not contain her dance, I was just like, oh. Like, I was watching it with my hands over my face, like peeking through my fingers.
Really?
Like, this is embarrassing. Loved it, though.
I don't know. The first time I watched it, it took... I don't know if I'm just dumb, but I couldn't follow it. Like, it's being very ham-fisted mm-hmm. in some ways, like, you know, with the brownies. It mentions the brownies, like, 5 times in the episode. But it took me, like, several times to watch to figure out that she was taking out the alternates to get Amy on the squad.
And I immediately assumed something like that was happening because that's been in the news the last few years. That's happened a couple times where a mother has actually, or at least one time, a mother has actually killed a competitor so her daughter could get on cheerleading.
Was that thing the Texas cheer change law? Yes. I can't think of the name of it.
I don't know what it was, but definitely happened at least one time in the last few years in the news. And I was like, oh boy, Buffy's in trouble.
That's crazy. That is crazy, you know.
Oh.
Yeah.
I can't believe I'm forgetting her name. The one we hate.
Cordelia.
Cordelia driving like a maniac.
Ah! I can't see.
The way Buffy saved her life.
Oh, God.
From the UPS truck, was it? That was awesome.
Anytime Cordelia's on, I honestly instantly tune out.
Oh, yeah?
Don't she have a kicking body?
She does. She did. Yes. Probably still does.
She does. She really does.
Huh.
She was a Chargers girl. A Chargers.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Oh. Mm-hmm.
That's so funny.
Before Buffy or after Buffy?
Yeah, before.
Okay, good.
TV series, Charger Girl.
Yeah. Although you gotta love the San Diego Chargers song.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, but she, I think... I was always wondering why she was part of the show, because Cordelia really didn't do anything. But from I won't give it away. But while watching,
yes, no more spoilers, Kim.
Yeah. Please.
Yeah.
Don't make me go through
I'm
all
sorry,
that work again.
I didn't know. Gabby didn't know that Angel was not a human.
Yeah. Well, that spoiler's out in the open now because I didn't bother with our second episode. But I went through all that work in the first episode to keep people spoiler free.
Yeah.
And to mostly make fun of the fact that we totally spoiled Gabby. So you watch out.
I am sticking to my word of not skipping ahead. I've only watched the first 4 episodes. Like somebody.
Yeah. Well, if it helps Kim to enjoy it more, then I'm bored.
I agree.
Hey.
Just, I want to keep Kim happy. I don't want her to bail.
I don't want Kim to jump ship.
Yeah, to that other podcast that's dedicated to hating Buffy.
Is there one?
Well, I don't know. Some people think that's us.
Oh, right. No, but I just don't understand the whole the mother is in cheerleading. It's crazy to me.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know. Maybe it's because like growing up in Canada, we really don't have that mentality here.
But the whole cheerleading thing, yeah. Like in Quebec, also not a lot of sports in school. So therefore there was no need for cheerleading.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But I definitely gather that cheerleading is a big thing in the United States because I've seen enough movies.
It's now on ESPN.
That's true. Mm-hmm.
So I'm wondering if this episode hit home with a lot of teenage girls that didn't make the team when it was on.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I'm sure.
I'm sure it did. But I don't know. I guess I like the whole Team Buffy people because they know that they're not good enough to make the team. It's like, okay, you're sad for 5 minutes and move on.
Yeah.
And there
was Amy was totally, well, it was Amy's mom, but like she was totally devastated.
But even Amy probably would have been devastated because she just wanted to please her mother. Mm,
that's true.
Right. You know, so. But yeah.
Well, what about Xander giving Buffy a bracelet?
Oh, that's driving me nuts. Like, Xander constantly fawning over Buffy. I'm like, I get it. But what bothers me is Willow obviously has a thing for him. And my heart goes out to her. And I'm like,
Xander, you're so blind.
Exactly. Could he be that oblivious?
Yes, he's a male.
Yeah.
Oh,
but trust me, ladies.
Oh, no, I have to ask this when Gap saw him.
No. Don't spoil us.
I'm pretty sure. Okay, I'll wait. I'll type it to you, Steph.
Okay.
Oh, no.
Make sure it doesn't go to Gabby by mistake.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
But the whole thing where he's just, I'm going to ask her out. Should I ask her out? Guy. I love it how he says that Willow's like a guy friend to him, and then Buffy turns around at him, and he's just one of the girls. I really appreciated that, and that I'm glad Xander heard that.
Yeah,
but he doesn't make him give up. No, he still has those feelings.
But you know, men and their feelings in high school. There's not much else to hold on to. No pun intended. Don't make me put an explicit tag on this podcast.
Okay, if you do. No, but I really liked the ending with the mom inside the trophy.
It was, like Gabby said, it was very Twilight Zone. I really liked it.
It was, I watched it thinking, oh, this is really campy. But then I was like, that's really creepy. The ice is falling around. Anyways.
Yeah, it definitely gave me a feeling like it gave me the willies.
Yeah.
Towards the end of it. I loved it. Like I liked the first two, but if I didn't like the first two episodes and then I saw this one, this is the one that would have hooked me personally.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I saw this episode 3 times. I really, really liked it.
Wow.
So I know, right? Watch someone will email in and go, what? That was like the worst episode ever. What are you thinking? But
I don't know. Maybe it's interesting how, I mean, Steph does mention that this is the least Joss Whedon episode and we really rave about it. I wonder if that bodes well or not.
But it was very, because I know that a lot of people are saying how Buffy isn't girly and like, or whatnot. And this episode in parts felt really girly.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was like, what? What am I getting into? You know? Because, anyways.
They're just trying to hook the...
The young girls.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
Okay, did y'all notice when Giles was doing the spell that he said that was his first spell?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Just keep that in mind. Just put that in the back of your mind for later.
Mm-hmm. saw something on Twitter earlier about this.
Interesting.
You're talking to Ren Mic'd.
DM'd him.
No problem. I'm okay with mild potential spoilers. This is, after all, potential cast.
See, now what I read into that one was where he was, they were stressing out because they needed to find her particular spell book. So the way that I kind of, when he said that it was the first, you know, the first time or whatever, that it was the first time he was doing one of her spells. So to me, I'm like, man, I'm thinking, well, maybe witches have their own kind of brand or style of spell. I don't know. Maybe I'm reading into it way too much.
Maybe.
But that's kind of what I thought, yeah, because they needed to have her particular book to be able to reverse her particular spells.
So I have a question. I don't know if it's a spoilery or if you guys can answer it, but are you born a witch or can you become a witch?
I guess anybody can become a witch.
Okay. So does anyone in the cast ever try their own spell, or should I not ask that question?
Don't worry about that right now.
Okay. Okay.
And that's also, if you buy the DVDs, don't look at the cover.
Wow. Okay. Gabby, please proceed to the gouge your eyes outline before you proceed to check out.
Oh, my gosh. Well, no, I've been Netflix instanting it. Oh. And the first few episodes I've been watching, they haven't been widescreen. They've been regular.
Yeah, they're all regular
style. So,
yeah, all of my episodes are like that too.
Mm-hmm.
That I found totally legally, by the way.
Because we're in Canada.
Right. Right.
Try taking me to the World Court in The Hague, why don't you?
Well, I have a question about Giles. Anybody can answer something. Okay. He's really, like, psyched about, you know, being at the helm out. He's really stoked on it. So does he continue to stay really thrilled that they're, like, you know, living in the helm out?
He's really psyched about it.
I mean, okay. The way I took that is, this is what he's been groomed for. He's been waiting on this to be. I mean, I think that this is a huge opportunity that he's been given to be the watcher of the Slayer.
Did he know that his the Slayer that he would be watching and help, you know, training was going to be a teenager?
They all are.
Oh, they all are? Oh, okay.
Again, I don't know about this choice.
So when Buffy turns 20, then she has to give up her Slayer?
No, she's the Slayer all of her life.
Oh, okay. Okay. I guess that makes sense.
I need to know more.
You'll see. There's a lot of explaining. There's a lot. There's a lot to the background of the Slayer. And you get some in season two. Well, I think towards the end of season one, you find out some. And then in season two, you find out some. And then later on, you get the full background.
Okay.
Slayer.
Because the one thing that I don't like about Giles is that he's a real close talker. I don't know if he does it on purpose. Because there's been a couple of times, I don't know if it's just the blocking that they did when filming it, but like he'll be talking over Willow's shoulder and she's like, get out of my face. She has like this expression.
I think Joss even said something on the commentary about how he had to keep telling Tony to the 6-inch rule that
really?
teachers are not allowed to be that close to students.
That's so funny.
There have been times where I was just like, how come they're not telling him to back the hell up? But yeah, that's so funny.
And speaking of Giles, we got an email stating that he was not on a Folgers commercial, but it was Taster's Choice. Taster's Choice. Yes.
Right.
Which is awesome. Any final thoughts for Witch?
Out of 10, I'd say it was like 8 out of 10.
Hmm. Uh-huh.
for funness factor.
Let me see. I give it an 8.5 for the willies, for giving me the willies at the end.
Yeah. I would have to give it 3.5 poutines out of 5. That I think will be my rating system. If you don't know what a poutine is, Google it. It's delicious.
They're delicious.
Well, out of 10, I would give it a 3.
What?
Because there's no angel, there's no master, and it's so not Joss.
Mm-hmm. Like it did. That was the one. You're right. Of the episodes, it's not serialized.
Yes.
Yeah, it's very much self-contained. It could have been aired at any point in the season.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yeah, and I think maybe a bit the same one with the next episode we're going to talk about, right?
Yes. Now, before that, want to thank everyone for listening. Want to remind everyone that you can get in touch with us in many ways. Email address is
potentialcast@gmail.com.
Or if you prefer talking to us over the telephone, 270-40-BUFFY. You can also find us on Twitter, twitter.com/potentialcast. That's right. We welcome any and all feedback. Positive feedback is awesome. Negative feedback will be read.
Will be read.
We don't ignore any feedback.
And discussed at length. Not recorded.
All right, everybody. Any final quotes to sign off for today?
That girl's on fire.
Damn, you stole my quote. Now what am I going to do?
Oh, well,
okay, you guys go ahead. I'll think.
Ooh, stretchy.
All I've got is I laugh in the face of danger and then I hide until it goes away.
Brownies.
Okay, so let's go watch Teacher's Pet for next week.
Bye, everybody.
Bye. All right, bye-bye.
Bye.